It was absolutely horrible. Sap chewing my ass out. Sap spitting tobacco at me. I'll never forget it.
Happy 10th anniversary to Big Storm Beer. Big Storm Beer, that's the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast and Florida's best craft beer. They are local and they're having a party and you are invited. It is all day, July 30th at their Clearwater location, 49th Street. Beautiful 3,000 plus square foot outdoor patio. Beautiful indoor seating as well. Air conditioned, comfortable. They're having all kinds of stuff going on. Giveaways, prizes, discounts on merchandise, of course, their fantastic menu and great specials, and all of the packaged beer is buy one, get one free, which is just an unheard of deal. You have to check out all the great beers at BigStormBrewery.com. BigStormBrewery.com, the Bromosa, the Tangerine IPA, their top seller, Wavemaker Amber Ale is the original, and so many in between. What a time it's going to be. Come out for some great fun, some great deals. Word has it the Sage is going to be out there as well. And if you can't make it, remember, Big Storm is in great locations and stores and restaurants near you. Tap rooms also in Pasco County, in Odessa, Cape Coral, and in Orlando at the Amway Center.
You got to think Joe Buck's not talking out of his butthole. Yeah,
yeah. Buccaneers fans, here he is, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the King, the mighty King of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. We're fired up. You can catch up on your podcast listening at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, all kinds of outlets. And Sage is at one of his favorite haunts right now. Ira, you're always covering everything there is to know about the Bucks, even at Dunkin' Donuts.
I asked for a Buccaneer cup, and they didn't have one. Then I asked for a chocolate donut with sprinkles. They didn't have one, DeCamper. I mean, what's going on in this world? The help in these places is unbelievable. Somebody that came in before me in the car line, you know, they're asking for 24 donuts. I got to wait there for 15 minutes. Can't catch a break.
All right, Ira. Well, we all know that you've found a way to put something, maybe a few munchkins in your mouth or whatever it was. But and you're definitely well lubricated and caffeinated for this broadcast. So we're very excited about that. And of course, fans, while they're listening, you can shop at BillCurryFord.com. Check out all the details of their awesome nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Order your vehicle today. That's right. Your brand new 2023. Just go to BillCurryFord.com. You're going to get your own concierge to help you go through the process if you want help. But it is so easy. Pick your color, pick what you want. No deposit. Sean Sullivan's going to give you $500 just for doing it. There are other incentives. You can reach out to Sean Sullivan, the GM himself, directly on by phone, email, through the website, and tell him you want the Ira Kaufman discount. If you're looking for a used vehicle, they've got great selection. And if you've been shopping, you know there's not the greatest selection out there. Bill Curry Ford has it. Nationwide lifetime warranty on that used vehicle. Check them out, BillCurryFord.com. Don't wait. Just start shopping while you listen to the podcast. It's always a fantastic way to go. And Sage, the storms keep on rolling. Hopefully we don't get many in training camp, but anybody who gets storm damage, you know that first phone call goes to Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7. No joke, 24/7. They will respond quickly and they'll come out no charge to assess whatever damage you have. Maybe it's just a flood under your sink. Floods happen all the time, pipe breaks, or you're cleaning up or whatever, and you find some mold. Maybe you do a repair, and oh my gosh, I got a ton of mold. They are licensed mold remediation specialists, and they are giving $500 off to Ira Kaufman listeners. It's just that simple. Just call them up, get your free assessment, and before you commit to the work, if you need work at all, before you sign on the dotted line with them to work for you, then let them know you heard about them on the Ira Kaufman podcast or at Joe Bucks Fan. They'll give you $500 off. You can use that for your deductible for your home insurance, or if you're paying cash, that's $500 back in your pocket. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ira,
first call to Florida's Elite Restoration.
Some interesting stuff here because it hits a topic that we talked about previously on the podcast. And it plays into all the insanity that has been swirling for months about Brady this, Gronk that, all this stuff. Ira, I'm listening to the Rich Eisen show. He's back from vacation on Monday, catching up on my listening, on my NFL knowledge and hunting for Bucks news. And there is Rich Eisen talking about how he heard an interview of Joe Buck on the Dan Le Batard show. And Buck was talking about how he necessarily isn't so sure, quote from Eisen, isn't so sure Tom Brady's going to show up in the booth for Fox. And Buck talked about how they told him before he left for ESPN that, you know, we want to work with Brady. We'd like you to work with Brady and blah, blah, blah. And Joe Buck questions whether he ever really is going to show up and if he really wants the job and if it really fits him. And I told you a while ago, I'd put maybe over under on 2 years. I just don't see him doing it. But now these guys who are heavy hitters in the NFL, Rich Eisen, face of the NFL Network, says really sounds like Brady might not show up.
Well, the first thing I want to say is Joe Buck is 3 months late. Because if you listen to the Ira Kaufman podcast, almost the day after that, it was suggested that Brady had a clear pet into the broadcast booth. Steve Isbitt said, I don't think it's going to happen. You might have said, I don't think it's going to last, but I think you also said there's a chance it never happens. And Lee and I were sitting there caught flat-footed. We don't think like that. We kind of take things at face value sometimes. Lee, it's another example, the latest example, that nothing that goes on with Brady, at least off the field, is ever simple and straightforward. I mean, it never is. The retirement, this and that, and now, you know, his post-playing career. You got to think Joe Buck's not talking out of his butthole. He talks to people. And now there's a suggestion that this whole thing was a ruse and a hoax. With Brady, Lee, you never know what the hell to believe except to know that whatever team he plays for is going to be a contender. That's the only thing you know.
Well, this thing was on shaky ground to begin with because Fox had no idea when he was going to start. You're going right. to make that kind of investment? You have no idea when the guy's going to start? Really? But Buck, I want to see with Andrew Martian with the New York Post. When I say recently, I'm talking about 2-3 weeks ago. He basically said the same thing in a different interview. Basically said the same thing. He was like, what? Brady? You're actually going to sign Brady? He's actually going to do this? Thought the guy was going to retire and be with his family. And Buck just right off the bat, Buck was suspicious about it. And they, as Steve said, at least the interview that I read, Steve heard, you know, I say he heard an interview. I read an interview with Buck, and Buck was, you know, they were trying to lure Buck to come back to Fox, not, you know, to prevent him from, to go on ESPN, saying, hey, you can work with Brady. And Buck was suspicious about the whole thing. He just like, I don't know about that. And matter of fact, Buck thought Fox was conning him.
Well, Steve, it is a way for Brady to stay close to the game he loves that he's so passionate about. Otherwise, does he make a clean break? It's not easy to do it. Look at Drew Brees, Steve. I don't believe this story about an amicable parting of the ways with Drew Brees and NBC because now he's still looking for another job.
Yeah.
And he wasn't renewed, Steve. That's no amicable parting. So, first of all, it's not as easy as it sounds. Aikman has made a hell of a career out of it. Other guys are good at it. But it would be a way for Brady to stay close to football rather than just cutting ties with it. That's not easy either.
I said from day one, this was much more than doing football games for Fox.
Yes.
This was like, you know, Fox was going to have some TV series and hire Brady's production company. This had a lot more to do with non-football than it did football. That kind of bread? No.
Yeah, he could have ended up with his own show, Steve. Wouldn't have been surprising on Fox. And, you know, Brady's brand and reaching out to other segments of the Fox audience. So we'll see, Steve. But I got to say, you were the first on it. You didn't waste any time suggesting that this may never happen. So I got to give you some credit, Stevie.
Well, I wasn't on it, Ira. I just gave my opinion, which was I don't think Brady would do it. It just doesn't seem to fit him. I don't think he would ever have his own show either. I mean, why would he want his own show on Fox? I don't know. Nothing fits with Brady, except, like you said, Ira, you know that his team is going to be at least 10 wins and, get to the playoffs and all that stuff. So that's what we do know, and that's probably the most exciting thing. Sage, we got a bit of news. It's exciting, but I don't want to go too crazy with this because we're going to meet the guy next week. His contract number isn't out yet, and that's probably a big part of the discussion. But the reality is the Bucks made their move, one that we've been talking about. General manager Jason Light goes out and signs Kyle Rudolph, 32 years old, tight end, an accomplished guy, was with the Giants last year, catching balls from miserable quarterbacks, didn't really fit in, but nobody fit in with the Giants last year. He was not hurt. We don't know how much he's washed up, but Rudolph is a two-time Pro Bowler, and he did that with a lot of crappy quarterbacks throwing him the ball, from Christian Ponder to Sam Bradford to a couple of years of Teddy Bridgewater, middle-of-the-road kind of quarterbacks at best. What do you think of the move, and do you think this means Gronk is done, or do you think, we'll see?
The guy was a top 10 tight end about 5 years ago. He was top 10. He catches 68% of the passes sent his way in his career. That's a very strong rating. In fact, it's a little higher than Gronkowski's. But let me stop right there and not mention Rudolph and Gronkowski in the same sentence. Steve, just for our listeners and readers, just did some quick research. Gronk's average yards per catch is about 15, and Rudolph's is 10. As far as the targeted downfield, Gronk is targeted an average of 10 yards downfield, and Rudolph 7. So what does it mean? Well, he's not going to bust any long ones down the seam like Gronkowski has. He runs shorter routes. He doesn't break as many tackles as Gronkowski. In short, Steve, he's not Gronkowski. You ask the big, big question, does this close the door on Gronk coming back to the Bucks in 2023? I don't think it does. But if I'm Jason Light, I got to cover myself. They don't know about Gronkowski's intentions. And they're not comfortable going in with great and a couple of guys who have never caught a pass. I think right now, Steve, the fairest thing to say is, maybe he's a little bit better than Cameron Brate. Maybe at this stage in his career. But you can't knock the Bucks for the move, Steve, because they have uncertainty at the position, and it's a position that affects Tom Brady. Thus, that makes it definitely a position of interest.
Yeah, it's an exciting move, and Ed McCaffrey, Christian McCaffrey's dad, who was a great receiver, won a few Super Bowls, he called Kyle Rudolph the tight end's tight end, Ira. It was something like you would have said. He's a tight end's tight end. Essentially meaning that he does everything and he fits the part. He's 6'6", 260, maybe a little smaller than Gronk, a hair, but he blocks. And if he's healthy, and it's obviously a perfect situation for Rudolph. And it speaks to the fact that the Bucks, where they are in the state of the franchise, they can just grab a guy like this because they know, why would Rudolph want to go to play for the Browns or play for the Bears when he can come here?
Again, the Brady factor, Steve, you're right. Who's to say that Rudolph didn't have any options? I would think he had some options. Now, nobody's going to pay him $12 million, but he had some teams interested, Steve. So if you have, your array of picks, who are you going to go with? Are you going to go to Carolina, not knowing what the heck's going on? Are you going to go to Atlanta with Marcus Mariota, or are you going to come to $1? And Steve, I don't think it's a stretch. You tell me. I don't think it's a stretch that Kyle Rudolph is the starter week one in Dallas. Would that shock you, Steve?
No. May the best man win. Cade Otton, the rookie, was cleared for practice, and we talked about last podcast. He's going to get a few days head start because the rookies and the quarterbacks report a few days earlier. So, it'll be a great competition, but no, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Rudolph starts. And now, at the very least, from day one, they know that if they throw two tight end sets out there with Brayton Rudolph, it's going to keep the defense guessing, which is maybe the most important thing out of the gate with this. But I don't know. I'm excited, Ira. I can't wait to see that contract number because that's going to determine everything. If he's only getting $3, $4 million, then the Bucks still have, they're still sitting on $8 million to play with. And if you do the math, Gronk could come back at a prorated $12 million. They'd only owe him like $7 million, $6 million. If he came back late in the season. So they still have all the flexibility in the world, get an edge rusher or who knows what. I don't know. It's exciting, Ira. I can't wait to see that number. What do you think he's going to earn?
I'm thinking $5 million. But you're right, Steve. And you said a couple of weeks ago, and I disagreed with you, You said, are the Bucks done? Is the roster set for the start of training camp? Or you might have even said the beginning of the season. And I think you said training camp. And I said I didn't think they were going to do anything. Now Rudolph's in the fold. And, Steve, they may not be finished, especially if they have some clarification about Gronkowski. If he's coming back, if he is, when is he coming back? And so that affects, the Mike Greenberg bottom line. And I think edge rusher, if there's a move, I think that's the move. Edge rusher. You know, you already got that nailed that one, and you may not be finished yet.
We'll see. I mean, a lot can happen. There'll be injuries. And one thing I think, Ira, is a little bit underrated. If they really don't like their returners, I wouldn't be surprised if they make a move for a returner late. Some teams have a few guys who can do it, or at least an exciting young rookie. If the Bucks don't feel they have that, they may chase that later in the preseason. But it's all about Rudolph today, Sage, and the Bucks made a move, and it just speaks to how these are the glory years of the Buccaneers, where they just dump one guy, walks away, and he might come back. Okay, we'll add a guy who's massively experienced and has got Pro Bowls and is probably hungry as hell for a ring.
You know who does stuff like that, Steve, in the baseball equivalent? The Dodgers. The Dodgers. Somebody gets hurt, somebody leaves in free agency, they sign a stud, you know. They bring in Freddie Freeman to get Mookie Betts. Now, I'm not, trying to put Kyle Rudolph in the class of a superstar, but he's a useful piece. And most importantly, he's going to be a one buck Wednesday when the veterans report, and he's going to be ready to go, and he's going to be excited to be catching passes from the best guy that's ever done it, Tom Brady.
It's kind of like when you hit free agency, Ira, we made a quick move because we're Joe Bucks fan, and yeah, that's how it goes.
You have unlimited pockets, Steve, unlimited.
Wouldn't that be nice? Sage, I got a little bit of news. I don't want to call it news, but I was able to learn over the last handful of days that Todd Bowles does not want to practice indoors. All the Bucks practices, he doesn't plan on, hey, it's going to be an indoor day at training camp like Bruce Arians used to do. Hey, we're going to go in the shed, as Lee and I call it, the Glazer shed. We're working the guys a little hard. He wants to be outdoors, pushing it as much as he can. The practices are early in the morning, the 8:50 practices, which doesn't rival the Greg Schiano 7:55 a.m. start, but it is still pretty early. You think Bowles is going to try to maybe separate himself from Arians in training camp as far as maybe going a little bit harder? We joked about Camp Cupcake last summer. You think that's an area where Bowles is going to intentionally try to separate himself, or whatever he does is just what he believes in and he's not looking at it that way?
Well, that sounds like a beautiful plan, Lee. We're only going to use the Glazer shed for inclement weather, for lightning, that's it. Otherwise, we're staying outside. That sounds good in theory. Let's hope he doesn't go to with the Ray Perkins 3 practices a day schedule, which I don't think he will because he's not allowed to. But, Lee, after about a week of that, staying out of the Glazer shed, suppose there's no lightning, light rain, you practice in the rain outside. After about a week of that, that might get old. Bowles might reassess at that point. From our standpoint, we love going in there.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, it's a good vantage point. We're closer to the action. We're up in the stands. Nobody's standing right in front of us. We don't have 40 guys to try to look over their heads, and they're all 6'2".
More importantly, air conditioning.
No question.
I don't care if there's 80 people standing in front of me if it's air conditioned.
I don't think this thing is set in stone. It sounds good. Maybe it's his way to try to separate himself. Lee, how many times have we heard Bowles say, I'm not Bruce Arians. I'm not going to try to be Bruce Arians. And maybe now he's trying to prove it. We'll see. Right now, that's a theory. We'll see if it's practical.
Well, it was sure practical all the time before they had one.
It was. And they stuck.
T.O., baby, as Dick Vitale would say. Didn't Chucky and Dungy have winning seasons with no indoor facility?
Then they moved to the beautiful One Buck Place facility, and they stuck. They proceeded to stick. I still remember when Jameis Winston, he was introduced as a Buccaneer, if I'm right. Didn't they bring him into the interview room? Lee, after the main thing in the auditorium, and I think I asked a question about an indoor facility, and Winston looked at all of us and said, we're going to have one.
A year later, they had one.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Sage, we talked a lot about this early last year after the Bucs won the Super Bowl, when Giselle famously said to Tom Brady, the microphones picked it up on the field. She said to him, what more do you have to prove? And, you know, so that kind of went viral. Oh, maybe she doesn't want him to play anymore. And what does he have to prove to anybody? Well, I was catching up on some podcasts, Ira, summer podcasts and stuff. And I heard LeSean McCoy talking about how Brady told his teammates, he said, hey, I'm not chasing these quarterbacks. I'm chasing Michael Jordan. And in the other people on the podcast, the I Am Athlete podcast, said to LeSean McCoy, hey, did he really say that? They were like, come on, did Brady really say that? And McCoy's like, yeah, that's what he said. I'm chasing MJ. And so that sort of puts a whole different perspective on maybe was Giselle, instead of saying, hey, you won another Super Bowl, why do you need this anymore? You accomplished your goal here. Maybe she was really saying, hey, you passed Michael Jordan. And now you can get out of here as the best team sport guy. And of course he kept going and came back. But do you think there's any chance that Brady has some sort of bigger, bolder goal in that realm in the world of sports? I mean, I can't imagine that he's chasing Babe Ruth or something like that, but I don't know. What's your perspective hearing me tell you that story, Sage?
One, I believe Jordan won 6 NBA titles. Lee, this guy's earned 7 rings. I mean, the chase is over in that regard. I mean, what else are you going to compare? Scoring average? Bucks averaged 30 points. Jordan averaged about 30 points. Depends how you want to look at it. I'm going to show my age here, DeKemper. I'm going to show my age, which I do on occasion.
Wait a minute. Ira, before you say anything, here comes the Bill Russell take. Here it comes.
That's right. 11 championships in 13 years. That is the standard. That is the standard for professional team sports. It hasn't changed since the 1960s. And yes, he had Wilt Chamberlain to contend with during that whole decade. So, you know, I'm a Sixer fan, but I, you know, ultimate respect for Bill Russell. Lee, for the bigger picture, Michael Jordan thing. It's a bunch of nonsense. He's not chasing anybody, Lee. He loves the competition. He loves football. He loves everything about it. He loves training camp. He loves working with young players. Lee, he hasn't found anything to substitute for that. I think that's what it's all about. And I think that's why when he turns 45 in a week or two, he's going to be knee-deep in having a great season for the 2022 Bucks. Michael Jordan ain't on this guy's mind. Giselle ain't on his mind either, because she wanted him to quit years ago, and he ain't doing it. He ain't doing it. Nobody's taking this away from Brady. He loves it, and until he stops loving it, he's going to keep playing.
Ali, did you want to add to that, or are you good?
No, Ira's rant, I think, was okay. Okay. Nothing to add.
Okay. All right, Ira, look, training camp coming up, and, you know, we could sit here and talk about boring battles. You know, until these guys suit up, they, you know, we don't know what's really going to happen and how it's going to go. But I can ask you, where do you think Todd Bowles sits? I mean, every coach has his favorite players. See Jalen Darden, Bruce Arians. Where do you think Todd Bowles sits where it comes to the left guard position? Obviously, he liked Luke Getteke. I don't think you know, Jason Light would draft a guy that you know, his brand new head coach hated. I'm not saying that, you know, they work together. And you think he's more in line with let's get the rookie out there and ready, and it'll pay off by the end of the season. You know, do you think he's more, hey, you know what, Stinney, you know, showed us in those 3-4 games it's his job to lose. Also on the other side of the ball, what about his young players on defense? Is he going to give Trajan Soyinka a ton of rope and hope that, hey, you know, let's develop him more and maybe we can get him to be a force later in the season, and Logan Hall, let him take his lumps early, even if it costs us a game, we're going to need him later. Where do you think he sits when it comes to making decisions like that?
Lee, I think the answer is obvious. While Steve is asking the question, I think the answer jumps out. Lee, when Lee Bowles was announced as the Buccaneer coach in late March, I dare say, Mr. DeKemper, and this is my attempt to get a laugh out of you on this podcast, I dare say, Todd Bowles never heard of Luke Getteke. He never heard of him. Who? Luke who? What are you talking about? And why would he? He's the defensive coordinator of the Bucs, and he ain't scouting, you know, guards. He's not doing it, nor should he. So came in late to the table on this left guard situation. Lee, my answer is very simple. Bowles will lean on his very good coaching staff, Joe Gilbert and others, to make a determination. I don't think he's going to overrule Joe Gilbert if he says Stinney's done a better job in training camp and in the preseason games. I don't think Bowles is putting his thumb on the offensive scale. He's too smart for that. Where does he sit defensively? Quite the opposite. He's going to be very involved. What's going on with Keanu Neal? Is Neal back to where he was with Atlanta? The guy was a good player. Maybe he doesn't trust Mike Edwards yet, totally. And Bowles played safety. Those are his concerns. Tryon Cherinka. Bowles is going to see, can I trust this guy coming off the right edge, not being in a position in my rush defense? And Lee, let's be honest. The rush defense, while still good, wasn't quite as good last year. Not quite as good. We already know what Bowles says about tackling, and certainly that is not the trademark of Tryon Cherinka, is tackling. So, Lee, I don't see Bowles weighing in all that much at left guard, but he's sure going to have the final voice when it comes to the other side of the ball.
I've got a question that's much more complex and deeper than that. This spring, Casey Rogers said that it was too late to make any coaching changes when Bowles was hired. So I'm wondering who Bowles doesn't trust.
Interesting. Well, I'll say this. I don't think you should be sounding an alarm that doesn't necessarily need to be rung, Lee, because Bowles is knee-deep with this coaching staff, most of it. They worked through a long time together, most of them, going back to the desert in Arizona for those years, you know, and Bowles was there the first 2 years with Arians. He knows these guys, Lee. He's comfortable with most of them. But I'll say this. Doesn't mean there's not going to be some coaching changes next January. There probably will be. But don't make it sound, Lee, like John Gruden coming in and he really doesn't know anybody. And it's a different situation.
No. I'm just thinking face value. When Casey Rogers said it was too late in the hiring process to make some coaching changes, well, you don't say that unless you actually thought about it.
Yeah.
Unless you actually discussed it. So I'm wondering, who did he want to replace? If he wanted to replace someone, well, that's logical to think that he doesn't have full confidence in a guy.
I just think it's a tight coaching staff, Steve. They go back a long way.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to Lee's question. I don't know. I mean, I know they lost Jim Caldwell to the Jaguars. He's their new defensive coordinator. Maybe somewhere it was tied to him and what his duties are, but they did bring in a new guy. So, or Arians brought him in, rather. So, you know, it's hard to say. I don't know. It was an interesting comment, and who knows what that is? You really don't. Maybe it was special teams. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ira, though, yeah. I got to
wrote about Bowles. He replaced the special teams guy right away with the Jets, and they improved.
Yeah, and Sage, I don't know if I agree with you, Ira. If the O-line coaches say, Todd, go with Stinney, and Tom Brady says, I like Getteke. I'm feeling it. I think we can get him to the highest level pretty quickly. Who's he going to listen to?
I still, Steve, you always go right to the point. I think you got to trust your coaching staff, Lee. I think you do. Lee, I think at the outset, you got to trust your assistant coaches. Now, Brady doesn't have that touch. He's the assistant of all the assistant coaches. I got to agree with that.
All right, well, Ira, look, with the rest of training camp coming through here, and, of course, these guys, what is it, day five that they get into pads?
Yeah.
So we've got 4 days of practice and then a day off and the first day in pads. Is there someone who you think needs a good start here, Ira, as far as completely forgetting about the underwear football part of this, when, of course, it all counts? But anybody who really needs a quick start to maybe change the mind of Bowles or change the direction here, maybe it's a Keanu Neal who's got to show up on day one of pads and look like, whoa, whoa, maybe he's back to his enforcer ways and we like the feel that he brings. Is there somebody there who you think needs to step up? And maybe it's Sean Murphy Bunting who needs to, you know, look like he's going to be the winning nickel and, you know, so Logan Ryan doesn't steal that job.
Well, I'm looking at Akeem Hicks, and I think he's got to show up healthy, ready to go, and ready to take Ndamukong Suh's job. And I don't care that they have a highly drafted rookie that's going to compete with Akeem Hicks. I kind of think that's Hicks's job to lose. But he's got a track record. He put some good time in with some pretty good Chicago defenses when he was kind of moping around by the end of some of those years because they didn't have a quarterback and they didn't have an offense. And, yeah, he had an attitude problem last year, Akeem Hicks. He did. I'm looking at Hicks next to Vita Vea. Potentially, Lee, you love that word. That's a very formidable inside tandem. It is. But he's got to be healthy and he's got to be motivated. And I think people are going to miss Sue if Hicks, you know, starts getting banged up and misses a game here and a game there. You're going to miss that guy, Lee. You're going to miss him. So Hicks's job is to make Buck fans say, hey, we've upgraded at that position. I'm looking at Hicks.
Well, what's interesting is Mary Kay Cabot came out with a report that the Browns are passing on Ndamukong Suh.
Whoa.
I'm a Sue fan, so don't get me wrong. But here it is, a week before most teams report for training camp, and both Ndamukong Suh and JPP are unemployed. Now, JPP, as he's wont to do, threw out a cryptic message on his Instagram Stories account, said, I'm off to my next destination. Well, that could be a bong shop in Costa Rica, or it could be the Chargers. Who the hell knows? I just find it interesting that a lot of people are still screaming for the Bucks to bring Sue back in. He's unemployed a week before training camps open. Don't give me this rookie reporting training camps are open baloney. When the veterans come in, then training camp starts.
That's right. Steve, you know, my intuition tells me Sue wants to play, and B, Steve, which probably should be A, I think he's asking for too much money. Whatever he's asking for, it's too much. It's too much for his age. It's too much for his productivity. It's too much for his leadership. He ain't coming for $2 million, Steve. He's not doing it.
No, I don't think so either. And, you know, he knows what his market is and what's out there. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out, how long he's willing to wait. It's not like you've heard about Sue going for visits and tryouts and physicals and things like that. I haven't heard that. I just heard about teams interested in him, which could be strictly agent-driven stuff. So, but if he wants to play, I'm sure he can play. And you know, maybe it's probably smart for him to wait it out. It could be a sort of a reverse Gronk situation where he's just looking for a job but doesn't want to go to training camp and is playing it along. Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know. But it certainly is interesting that those two guys are unemployed as of today, but that could be completely different by next week. Ira, I'm looking at Cade Otton, and I say that because not just because of the obvious hole at tight end, but you know, Pat Kerwin said a while ago that Brady will need a week. He'll just need 1 week to assess what the rookie tight ends have to offer, and then he'll be able to know, you know, if they're going to be able to succeed quickly or if the Bucs need to make a move. And, you know, Aaron Hernandez, way back when with the Patriots, was also a fourth-round pick. He was a fourth-rounder. Now, I recognize that he dropped a little bit in the draft because of his issues in college, but he was not a first-round pick. He wasn't going to be. And Cade Otton was top of the round. A lot of people think he was a bit of a steal because he wasn't used properly. And Washington, where he was, didn't have much of an offense. And Brady looked at Hernandez, and Hernandez, you know, succeeded out of the gate. 45 catches, 6 touchdowns, worked him right in. You know, I'm not saying Otton is the same kind of talent, but he might be. So I think it could get very interesting if Otton really is a real deal kind of talent.
That's a tremendous point, Steve, in terms of another intangible about Brady, another asset about Brady, is that he can sign up targets quickly, guys who have never caught a pass in the NFL, and duly report it to Jason Light and Todd Bowles and Byron Leftwich. And on that side of the ball, his word is a commandment. It's the 11th commandment. I don't know if it'll take a week, Lee. I don't know if it'll take 3 weeks. But I think it's a tremendous advantage, Lee, for the Bucs with this tight end situation to have Brady to lean on for a full assessment whether we can win with this guy behind Cameron Brate or in front of Cameron Brate. And, Lee, depending on what Brady says about these two rookies, that's going to carry a tremendous amount of weight.
Well, as it should, because it's Tom Brady. I have absolutely nothing against Kate Otten. Seems like a really good guy. I'm sure he's got talent. He may turn out to be the next Gronkowski, or, you know, you pick your favorite tight end. But gosh darn, he hasn't even caught one pass in practice. I can't sit here and say they could depend on him. I can't say that at all. As far as I'm concerned, he is a completely total guess.
He's an unknown, yeah.
Totally, totally. I mean, he hasn't even caught a pass in practice yet. I'm not talking regular practice. I'm talking about underwear football. I mean, my gosh, I saw Coach Keith out there on the second team for a few practices, only because they had no one else to play at tight end. And here's a guy coming out of college and people said he couldn't catch. You know, again, I hope, you know, people, you hate this guy. You hate. No, I don't hate anybody. He's wearing a friggin' Bucks uniform. I want the SOB to be in the Pro Bowl. So knock it off, people that say that crap. But I can't sit here and say Kate Otten is anything until I see him catch a pass. Just a pass. You know, it's like George Carlin and the, you know, football versus baseball joke. You go home. You go home. You know, you catch a pass. I want to see him catch a pass.
I'm glad Lee brought that up, Ira, because it sort of speaks to some of the stuff we don't see behind the scenes. So the Bucs rookies and the quarterbacks report July 23rd, 3 days before everybody else. And every team has that little quarterback's report first, so they go to their little quarterback school so they can be ahead of the other offensive players when they really start practicing and they're, you know, be able to lead, and it's less of a learning curve. And Brady, when the last time he spoke at minicamp, when at the news conference we were at, he mentioned the 23rd. He brought that up, and he'll be there. So somewhere 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, all those days before the first practice on the 27th, Brady might get 4 hours with Kate Otten that we don't even see. And there might be a lot of things answered before we even show up, but we'll have no idea.
If he catches 8 touchdown passes this year, Bucks are kicking ass.
You know, Steve, you reminded me of another thing about Brady. We talk about him so much. You can't talk about him. Lee, you know that. You can't talk about him too much. You just can't. Yeah. And what we love about him, among all the things, is that once he signs on, which he did in March, once he signs on, he gives himself every chance to be the best he can be, and his team likewise. He never cuts any corners, Lee.
No.
He's in completely. He's in completely, and we haven't seen any sign that that's not going to be the case this year. When they report to camp, everything else is behind him. That's just the way it is. He doesn't ask off for practice. He doesn't say he's hurt. He does whatever he has to do and more to help his team win. And, Lee, you got to have so much respect for that with all the craziness with TB12 and the Fox stuff and the retirement stuff and the golf tournament. Lee, when the season starts, he's all in. He's always been all in. And I don't think that's ever going to change. So I think that's the question that he asks himself every offseason, Lee, is, hey, can I give it my all? I'm not going to let my focus drop one bit. Can I do it again? Once he signs on, Lee, that's it. He's in.
Well, I can't say who I spoke to, but I can say it's someone that has access to Brady's inner circle. and it was, I believe, halftime of the Rams game. And I talked to this guy, and I said, hey, you know, what I'm going to say, you know, it's off the record, and I, you know, I'm not saying his name on purpose. And I said, what is this rumor about Brady retiring? I'm absolutely shocked. I said, this guy's been saying for years he wanted to play till he's 45, and now that he's on the cusp of 45 and he's playing like he's playing, he's going to give it up? Are you kidding me? And he told me, he goes, that's just it. Brady, when Brady's in, he's 110% in, and he doesn't think he can give 110% anymore. So what you're saying, Ira, that's what this person told me about Brady.
I think that's going to be the deciding factor. It's not going to be Giselle. It's not going to be a Fox job. It's not going to be any other job, a movie role. He's got to tell himself, can I make this 110% commitment? And I don't think he's going to be able to do that next offseason. I think the answer is going to be no.
Ira, you always like to ask or put it out on the podcast. This has got to be the first question for Brady. Or when I, next time I see Bulls, the next time Brady's up there, I got to ask him this. So I'm going to ask you this, Ira. The next time Brady speaks, or Bulls, do you think that, let's just say Brady, do you think that a lot of the questions should be and will be, two separate questions there, will they be focused on Tom, Rob Gronkowski retired? Could you walk us through your feelings? Was this shocking? Are you crestfallen? Or, you know, how is you haven't, you know, all that stuff? Or do you think the media types are going to basically act as if, yeah, Gronk's coming back, or they'll be more asking him in the realm of, you think he's coming back? How do you think that goes down? Because essentially, Gronk's retiring. No one's talked to Brady about it, and it's a huge story when a Hall of Famer hangs it up.
Well, yeah, absolutely. That should be the first question for Brady, and maybe a couple of follow-up questions. What's Brady's take on it? Well, if anybody knows really what Gronkowski's thinking, and I think more than Kamil Kostic, Lee, it's Tom Brady. I do.
What? That makes no sense, Ira.
Are you saying Brady sleeps with Gronk?
I'm not going that far, but they're on that telephone, and you can do a lot of things over a telephone, DeKemper.
I wouldn't know.
So, yeah, that's got to be the first
question. I don't call those 900 numbers.
It's got to be the first question of Brady. I'm putting it in the hands of Izbitz and maybe DeKemper to lead us off in that direction. Otherwise, I'll be glad to jump in. I've already proven that I can get the job done with Mr. Brady. Not afraid of him. Lee, what other questions are hanging over, looming over training camp? Like Gronk question. I mean, obviously, that's number one.
Oh, yeah. And I hear people there, you know, on our site, they're, oh, I'm tired of this Gronk stuff. Well, first off, like one guy today, and Steve and I both replied to him. One guy today, well, can we get on to bigger issues? Excuse me, a Hall of Fame tight end may or may not play? What bigger issue is there?
Bingo.
I mean, come on. Fame. You can't get enough of the stars. You can't write enough about the stars. There's a reason why the Foxes and BSPNs and all those things, there's a reason why they cover the stars. They don't cover the Nick Leverts of the world. Hello? I'm going to keep writing about Gronk until, like Izbitz said, he has a retirement party.
Yeah, where's the party, Ira? Where's the party?
The party's going to be at Big Storm, and we're all invited. Big Storm, Clearwater.
And by the way, earlier, Ira, you were talking about, you know, Todd Bowles having this throwback Bill Parcells kind of training camp. You see what I mean about Gronk doesn't want to deal with training camp? You see what I'm talking about?
I do.
Well, Sage, look, we're fired up for training camp. We've marched all the way through. We're going to have some fun next week at practice. And you know what, Ira, you have plans for your final weekend here? What are you doing? What are you going to be eating? You know, what's going on?
We might go to my brother-in-law's house. It's a little bit of a jaunt. We might go visit him. He's all by himself. You know me, I'll bring a little cheer and a little food. And drink to cheer him up a little bit. But I'm already looking forward to the training camp. Lee, I can assume, but I'll just ask you to make sure. Lee, have you stocked up on sunscreen? Because you don't miss a day out there. I got to give you a lot of credit. Once they come out, you don't miss a day. Are you all set, Lee?
Yeah, I'm just hoping upon hope they let us sit in the bleachers like years past. Well, up until the COVID came, because that sun does a number on me, and I got to cover up in a burka, but I will be out there.
Maybe I'll bring an extra white towel you can wear around your neck over there, DeCamper.
No, white towel, hell, white sheet. I can cover up.
A white sheet. All right, look, Sage, it's going to be fun. I'm excited for the fans who get to go. Hopefully the Bucks will man up and change a policy, maybe open up one of the practices to the masses, but not a lot of hope for that. But it's here. It's here, Ira. And do you have a favorite memory from training camp, Ira? We'll go out on that. Do you have a favorite memory? I don't care what it is.
Well, it's got to have something to do with food. I mean, you got McCoy with the snow cone truck. I went online and some of the media was staring at me. Hey, what are you doing? That's for players. That's for fans. I said, well, I ain't a player and I'm a quasi fan. So I think I qualify and went up there and I think I went up twice. But I do remember Camp Perkins at University of Tampa. Yes, I do. And it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. The facility was terrible. You know, you were elbow to elbow when you were trying to write something. There's no real media room. Thank God we're a long way from that. And Buck Place wasn't any better out by the airport. Oh, man. I still go by it once in a while. And, you know, the memories that are there, Sap chewing my ass out, Sap spitting tobacco at me. I'll never forget it. But I'm trying.
All right, Sage, have a good one.